Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.byteradio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my very special guest is Maura Sweeney, and we're going to be talking about the art of happiness. She pens inspiring and often fun short stories on the art of happiness and also has contributing blogs to Huffington Post, Generation Fabulous, and Better After 50. And she does that with wit, wisdom, and self-deprecating humor. And she unwraps a half a century of life experience. Maura captures familiar issues such as comfort zones and competition, influence, values, judgment, and nonsense. You can find out more about Maura by visiting her website, which is mauraforyou.com. And that's M-A-U-R-A. The number 4 and the letter U.com. And I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. So with that, I'd like to welcome Maura to the show. Hello, Maura.
Hi, Robert. Thank you for having me.
It is my pleasure. I'm always happy to have happy people on my show.
Well, good. I'm thrilled to be able to talk about the topic.
Great. Well, you know, first of all, I mean, looking at all that you do, I mean, you not only are an author, but you also do a podcast and blogging. So you're quite a busy young lady there.
Well, I don't know if I'm young, but I am rather busy in my life vocation, which is really sharing ideas about how all of us can think about our lives from the inside out. And maybe the best way of saying that is to take ownership of our lives and be in charge of them rather than always expecting the world to take charge of us and reacting. So I enjoy what I do.
Yes. Well, you know, on your website, you have as your mantra, I believe, which is living happy inside out. So how did you arrive at that? Now, one of the things I did notice is that you had a recent blog post talking about branding, you know, like what is your brand? So would you say that this particular mantra is also your brand?
Yes, I would. I would. I think there are probably a number of people that do write about happiness, but mine, living happy from the inside out, is something that I purposed to do even when I was a little girl. If you want to know the story behind it, I probably was quite a sensitive child, and I noticed or observed a lot. And I was around a lot of older people, several end-of-life scenarios, and I remember noticing that happy people tended to be those who expressed themselves from the inside, meaning that they did those things or occupied themselves in things that were important to them or spoke for who they were. But I also noticed several frustrated people, let's say unhappy people, who at the end of their lives were doing maybe what life had thrust upon them. Maybe they were following some kind of a cookie cutter expectation in life and never went inward to say, well, what are some of those things that are of interest to me? How can I reflect that in the world? And I just noticed that people that lived from their insides, that did things that were important to them, that took their skills, their interests, and gave place to them in the world, tended to be far more pleased with life, happy with life. They had just a better outlook. And I never forgot that. And I remember saying to myself, you know, when I get older, I would like to be a happy person. And it might sound strange because most 5-year-olds or 8-year-olds wouldn't think that way, but I really did. You know, most people were busy saying at that point, what would you like to do when you grow up? Do you want to be a president? Do you want to be a nurse? Do you want to be a fireman? do you remember all those old kinds of occupations?
Oh, yeah.
And mine was, I wanted to be happy. How that worked out, I wasn't sure. But I knew that that was my underlying goal. So there you go, living happy from the inside out. And in all of my podcasts, books, blogs, and public speaking, I speak about that very topic. I'll ask usually questions that will help people think about issues they never thought of before. And that's how people get more empowered. And I think when they are more empowered, they feel more at ease and generally happier.
Yeah, I agree. And it is unusual for a child to focus on an emotion like happy versus, you know, an occupation, which,
right.
You know, which I think says a lot to your perceptive nature, you know, in being able to look at that as kind of the what makes people tick. Now, reading your biography on your website, it seemed that your life course was not heading in a direction that was real pleasing to you, you know, at least initially.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I was supposed to be a lawyer, which obviously sounds like a very nice occupation.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, especially back during the early 80s when I was in law school, it sounds like something that would be wonderful for a woman, great occupation, great career choice, but it was something that did not speak at all for me. And that was really a turning point in my life because even back then too, wherever you went to law school, generally you'd practice in that state as well. And from the time that I was a little girl, I always loved warm weather and disliked the cold. It just wasn't comfortable for me. And so my idea of being happy was living in a warm climate. And I don't think you mentioned this, but I live in Florida, and I've been here with my husband for over 30 years. But I was following a life path that had been chosen for me since I was around 5. And there I was trying to be the good girl, do what I was told. And I got to the middle of law school in New Jersey, and I thought, I can't do this anymore. If you looked at the picture, which, Robert, you probably did.
Yes, I did.
I looked so vacuous. In other words, the farther I went in that path, the less and less life force I had within me. And it was going away by the day. Now, it didn't mean I was going to die. But it would have meant that my spirit in me that was loaded with enthusiasm or wanted to work with enthusiasm was dissipating by the day. So I left midstream. It was a very difficult choice because it was something that I was always supposed to be, and there was a lot placed upon me with those expectations. But then what came after that is that I had no idea of what I did want to do because I was only geared or groomed for one thing. So my life path took me into business, and I found that I was quite adept at being a leader in business. I managed several branch offices. I loved training people, developing people, setting up cultures within offices, finding out how everyone could collectively use their skills and talents and contribute it to the whole. I love promoting people. It just gave me so much joy. I can't even tell you. I once said to somebody, if I had to do this for free, I would. And I remember a friend saying to me, don't tell that to anybody. So you know, I've lived out my mantra, Robert, in that some people say, well, happiness is a great thing. And maybe some people think happiness is airy-fairy. It's a feeling. But happiness is something that allows us to feel at ease, at home, and at rest in our own lives, where we feel we're being true to ourselves and that we have something of value not only to express, but to offer others in our wake. It's extremely joyful as a whole. And that has been my overall message in pretty much everything that I do and write, whether it comes across directly or indirectly. Live happy from the inside out.
Yeah. Well, you know, looking at those pictures on your website, when you see the time of law school, and then you see the other times of the travel, you know, and when mm-hmm. you just exude happiness there, you know, and joy. And, you know, and to me, it's know, for people who sometimes maybe have a hard time grasping, you know, really kind of what makes them happy. I mean, sometimes people get really kind of mired in the day-to-day grind and lose touch with that. I would say what your pictures did for me is like go back and look at pictures and look and see if there's anything, any time where you see yourself truly smiling and being happy, and then recall what it was that you were doing.
You know, you should say that, because when I speak about branding, especially now, our economy has changed dramatically. So have the way, you know, the ways in which we conduct business. So there are a lot of people I'll speak to, and they'll think, well, who am I? What am I good at? And what my advice to them is very similar to what you just mentioned. I would say when you're on your own, close your eyes and go back in time. And think about some of those things that you used to do that you would spend time on, think about before life got complicated. And I said, the moment a smile comes on your face, you're on to something. Because now what you've done is you've connected with an emotion that's near and dear to you, and most likely a pursuit or an interest. And I always advise people, find a way to get back to those kinds of things. You know, what we did when we were 12. Or 8 years old may not be the things that we're going to do when we get older in life, but there's a thread in there that if we really pursue it, we will find a way of doing something along that line that works with us where we are today. So to be able to take skills we already have, or training, job training, whatever that we've already had, and then mix it in with the pursuit of maybe 2 or 3 things we really like and put them together, what we've done is moved ourselves from being a commodity in the business world to a brand. And, you know, there might be many people out there who are accountants or social media experts today, or they may be any one of a number of things. But when people insert those special interests that they have and find a way to weave them into their skill set, over time, people start identifying them as a brand. They have a certain flavor. It's almost like you want to think about spices when you're cooking. People will say, oh, I just recognize that spice. That's how people will relate to those individuals who have really worked not just their regular skills, but have implemented in there the things that they enjoy doing. They become a brand. And when you're happy doing what you're doing, I've always experienced that that's been the case. But I didn't know that Harvard University has conducted several years' worth of study, and they call it the happiness advantage. Did you know that people who engage in something or anything, they could be the 4-year-old playing with blocks, or they could be a 40-year-old surgeon going into surgery. If these individuals enter into their task happy before they get started, they will perform their tasks up to 50% better.
Mm.
Now, that's an interesting thought. It's almost like that happy advantage when we're putting something of ourselves into what we're doing, and we're doing things that are true to ourselves, then we end up almost giving ourselves an extra boost towards success, whatever that idea of success might be. I always experienced that, but I didn't know that there was a Harvard study to support it.
There you go.
That's interesting, isn't it?
That is. Well, you know, I can understand where that would play out in the sense that if you're happy, you're probably going to be more energetic, focused, and enthusiastic, you know, about what it is you're doing. So that, you know, that does make sense. Now, one of the things that you talked about, like, for example, in that branding aspect is, you know, really getting to know you, you know, and kind of in keeping with, you know, being, I guess, basically the authentic you, you know, who you really are.
Yeah.
For people who don't really kind of have an idea of of what that is. You talked a little bit about doing that little visualization, kind of going back. Is there any other ideas that you have for people to be able to maybe kind of start to explore, you know, that?
Very good question. I would suggest maybe your listeners would like to start tuning into my podcasts. They could go to my website to find them, or if they're on iTunes or Stitcher Radio, they can look for Maura Sweeney, Living Happy Inside Out. My podcasts are very brief. They're usually under 10 minutes, and each one of them will pick up a reflective question. And when you're asking, Robert, how do people get in touch with themselves or their authentic self, do you know, especially, it could be even more so today, we live in a society that is so fast moving. We have so many messages that are coming toward us every day about what's important, what we think, maybe what our values should be, what we should be doing, what we should be buying, what we should be pursuing in life. Sometimes we hear it not just from the media, but it could be from our culture. It could be from the era in which we grew up. And a lot of those values are imposed upon us externally. What I do in my podcasts, and I do it in really everything, but the podcasts are very good for this, is they each ask one reflective question. And then they'll give a call to action when I'm done to say, so when you're on your own today and you have a few free minutes, ask yourself this question. It's almost as if many of us are so busy doing that we never learn who we are. And to learn who we are and to be who we are is a very powerful thing. It also brings us great joy, but it also helps people around us, because when we are living an authentic life, and when we're happy doing so, we subconsciously give that same freedom to others around us. So I would say that would be an easy place to start, is in my podcast series, because I ask so many questions. I only get them when they come to me by way of inspiration, but each one causes the listener to go within and almost connect with their own soul to say, well, I know I've been practicing to do something, but what do I really think about this on the inside? And as I said at the beginning of this interview, Robert, I think it's very empowering. And then when we're able to know that we do have a certain amount of personal empowerment and we're not always reacting to the world around us, it really contributes a lot to our sense of peace and well-being.
Oh, yes. Yeah, very much so. You know, when I agree with that. And the idea of, you know, those of reflective questions as well as the call to action, and particularly mm-hmm. the call to action, you know, those are the types of activities I think that can help people clarify, you know,
yes.
exactly, you know, who am I, what am I doing, you know, what am I doing right, what do I need to
right.
change, and that kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah, one of the, you kind of touched a little bit on like, you know, we talked about the values and people and sometimes how they're imposed on us. One of the things that I noticed when you talked about, you know, when you left law school, you know, one of the things that was, you know, there was fear. You had a little bit of fear about exiting, you know, that particular...
A lot of fear.
Okay. But see, and part of that was expectations that, you know, people had for you. So can you talk about, you know, maybe how you navigated, you know, that fear and expectation, you know, to shift it toward a happiness?
Well, you know, that I'm looking back on that and I'm thinking, yes, there was a lot of fear because, as I mentioned, I really wasn't trained for anything else. And I had not been exposed to too much else. And I think this might be worthwhile mentioning to your listeners. The fear was from my own family that this is all they ever saw me as. And I'm sure many other people have been in that boat too. But I also had just gotten married. And I remember back then my mother-in-law was convinced that anyone who married her son was looking to just take advantage of him as opposed to be someone who could stand on their own. So I had a lot of things working against me. And I'm thinking, the last thing I'd ever want to be was someone else's dependent. I always wanted to go out and work, and I wanted to be self-sufficient in something that when I woke up in the morning, I'd really want to do it. I did end up, I pursued just a number of things. I think the first thing I did is I took a class on real estate, and I put myself in a different mindset. I didn't pursue real estate, but what was so nice about it is that it moved my mind away from where I was and gave me a perspective of another career. And shortly thereafter, I ended up working as a recruiter, an executive recruiter, at which point I learned so much about business and how businesses were set up. And I'm a natural interviewer, so suddenly I realized I love this. It gave me an opportunity to interview people, to find their personal stories, to discover what made them successful. And, Robert, this is probably worth mentioning. Most of the people that I discovered and really considered the most successful were not those people who always had it easy, whose life path or career path was always perfect. The ones I discovered that were very successful were those who had been challenged at one point or another when they didn't know what to do, because it required them at that point, maybe a little bit like it did me, to go within and come up with some new solutions, new scenarios, new ways to work out problems that were staring us in the face. And so that was kind of my career path. I just put myself out there. And, you know, it's not just then, but my husband and I, many years later, ended up, well, I was probably 10 years in the telecommunications industry, but my husband and I also had our own business in the computer repping industry, which was profitable but not really purpose-filled. And when we decided that we wanted to go out and do something to positively impact culture, you could say, well, that sounds really good, sounds nice, but how do you do it? And so here's my advice. You throw yourself out there. You go to meetups. You get online and you find out where people are gathering. You go and learn. And a lot of these things, at least in our area, and I'm sure we're not at all unique, you can spend $10, go and meet new people, learn new things, really change the trajectory of your world. And as you go to different things, you say to yourself, okay, how do I feel on the inside? Did something here kind of light my fire? Was there something here that I found myself asking more questions about or getting excited about? And so that's really the way to do it. You follow those things you think you might be interested in and continue to throw yourself out there with different opportunities, different people groups, different trainings, different networking groups until something starts to resonate from within. And I'm telling you, it's very interesting. I've always known this. When we do things that resonate within us because they're authentic for us, people understand that and they relate. And there's a certain level of confidence that is conveyed, not only internally with us, but also with other people whose company you're involved in. It's because you're just being yourself.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and going to meetups, I've kind of just started going to a few in my area just to get out there, and because, you know, I work from home and you know, the opportunities for getting out and meeting new people isn't always there. So, you know, I've kind of joined and you know, just kind of checked out what was going on in the area and have started to go. And it's wonderful to meet new people. And there have been a couple that I've gone back to. I will continue to go to because, like you say, there are some that kind of just resonate with you, and a couple that didn't, you know, but that was okay.
But then you know the difference.
That's right. Exactly. You get some clarity with that. And,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're going to take a break in a few minutes. So before we do, though, I want to let callers know, our listeners know, if you'd like to call in and ask Maura any questions, you can call in at 619-789-4359, or if you're listening live in the chat room and you would like for me to pose a question to Maura, feel free to type it in, and we will get to that right after the break. So, so now with the idea of happiness, you know, and we're kind of working toward, you know, having our activities support our authentic self. Obviously, we can't be happy all the time. so,
yeah,
what does Maura do when this little touch of unhappiness should maybe appear? Are there any particular things that you do to help yourself kind of shift out of that?
Yes, and you know what a question to be asking, because right, I'm sure people are listening, saying, "Well, what is this woman on drugs that she thinks she could always be happy?" What I do, Robert, is really a lifetime vocation, and I really believe that we can live kind of on a different channel. You know, you could think about radio stations. There are some that are very heavy. There are some that are lighter. What I will do when I am not happy, or let's say I get a curveball thrown my way, and this has been the case even when I was in business, in the corporate world, especially because I was a manager and anything that came out of my mouth had a certain amount of weight, I would do nothing for, well, whatever time I had. I would do nothing, but I would go away on my own. And you could say I would pray. I mean, everybody's got their different way of meditating. But I came to find rather early in life, when I would find myself in troubled places, that there really is something to be attained, or let's say a spiritual place, where we can get our answers or our clarity or a sense of wisdom that's not otherwise readily available when we're in a tough spot and we want to react. So I would not react. I would just say, give me a little time, let me give some thought to it. And it would generally mean I go on my own. And I would wait until I got an answer or a resolution or a viewpoint, maybe that's the best way of saying it, that was superior to the way I was feeling emotionally. You know, sometimes on one realm, we only see things one way and we cannot come up with solutions. But in my case, I can tell you, even as a manager, I was so stressed. And I would know that there was another way of thinking that would bring about responses that would be beneficial to all. And until I got there, with whatever degree of freedom I had to wait, I would wait until I got that kind of a signal. And when I'd move forward and make decisions, they were generally made from the right place and with the right outcome.
Okay, yeah. Well, you know, excuse me. You know, that makes sense. I've had, you know, those kinds of situations where usually it's kind of when I'm frustrated, things aren't kind of going. I just go out and take myself a walk, you know. And usually, you know, I'm a nature lover, so I go out and just, you know, sit in the park bench or, you know, whatever, you know, and kind of. But it's during those times that I find, you know, that if even if I don't get an answer or that shift in perspective, you know, that you talked about, which does happen, but even if I don't get that, at least I find my bodily, you know, functions are more balanced.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Your mood shifts.
Yeah.
Right, and you know, the word you used was very good, frustrated. Frustration is usually when we feel we don't have any options, and it puts us in a terrible state of mind. But when we get some sort of, I would maybe call it divine inspiration, it's as if, it's the best way to describe it would be like a breath of fresh air, and you'd say, oh, I never saw it that way. And sometimes by going out into nature, or going somewhere else other than your desk when you're looking at the same problem or whatever it might be, or the person you're having an issue with, going away really gives you a little space and an opportunity to have a different perspective. And I think part of it is just knowing there is a better perspective to be had. We can't all be saying that life is supposed to be this heavy. You know, if we've got a heaviness in life, there's got to be a lightness too, right?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And you know, like you said, some of the success stories that you saw were people who faced challenges and overcame them and had a creative way of coming back and resolving, you know, kinds of issues. And you know, I think that's some, to me, I believe that, you know, that's part of life. You know, the whole experience of life is to be faced with those, go through it, and then become a resource for helping others go through it easier.
Yes, and then we also grow through those opportunities. Like when I look back on certain things that I went through in life, I feel as if, or I know this, my sense of grace increased, my understanding of other people, human nature, my willingness to forgive and let things go rather than take offense. I had so many side benefits from it. And a lot of times I think people are afraid to deal with issues. And so they think that by not dealing with them, they go away. But by allowing ourselves to look at them, confront them, and expect that we will have a better way out, it's sort of, you know, let me say this. I think with all of us, we could come up with maybe thousands of potential problems or frustrations we could all have. But at the bottom of all of it, we ultimately see ourselves as a victim of the world or as a beneficiary. And I have learned to see myself as a beneficiary. I really believe that behind the curtain of the world we all live in is a benevolent force, a benevolent spirit, benevolent creator. And so my expectation, it may not be that I'll get my right answer now. It may not even be that the resolution will come immediately, but ultimately I will be a beneficiary of what I'm going through now. And I can honestly say that that's happened over and over, and I'm not alone in that. I've spoken with many other people who, having gone through challenging times, will come out as a more, I don't want to use the word, sounds trite, evolved being, but there's a maturity and a refinement that comes to us.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and it's that awareness and perspective that really does make life easier. I mean, you know, the experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we are just past halftime, so I want to take our little quick break. Again, if you would like to ask Maura any questions, feel free to call in at 619-789-4359. And then when we come back from break, Maura, I want to go ahead and explore your book series and all what that's about, okay? So everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back after this very short break.
Hi, it's Maya at Mind Over Matter in Nyack, New York. I'd just like to take a moment to share with you how amazing I found Robert Sharpe's book, Joy Potential. It kind of found me at a time when I was feeling out of sorts and overwhelmed and I guess derailed by the pressures of my career and my large family and caregiving and ailing husband. I just really felt like my spark was dimming. It was a perfect time for me to pick up Joy Potential because as I, just in the first few pages, began to read, I found that my frame of mind wasn't so different from others dealing with challenges and the trials and tribulations of life. I guess my first feeling was that I wasn't alone, and with that I began to open more to receive the message that Robert gave of light and love and positive thinking. That's what Joy Potential is all about. His thoughts are beautifully written, and everyone, whether you're going through your own personal challenges, should read it. His message was certainly well received from me, and I'm thankful for his insight and his caring and really helping me to get back on track. I think everyone should put Joy Potential on the top of their reading list. Love and light. Thank you.
For more information or to purchase your copy of Joy Potential, visit www.joybook.me. That's joybook.me.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us again today. My very special guest is Maura Sweeney, and we are talking about Art of Happiness, and you can, again, find out more about Maura by visiting her website, which is mauraforyou.com, and that's M-A-U-R-A, the number 4 and the letter U, .com, and again, I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. And also, Maura is on social media as well. She is on Facebook and on Twitter. And Maura, I'm glad that we're following each other on Twitter. Thank you very much for that connection.
Same here, same here. But you would have content that I would want to follow.
Okay, thank you very much. And you as well. I mean, you know, like I say, I'm all for promoting happiness and understanding, you know, just what it is that we can do to make our day-to-day happier is great. And also, again, you're on Facebook, too, and so I sent you a friend request there, so hopefully we'll be able to continue there as well.
Oh, good. Good, Robert.
Great. Okay, well, you know, let's talk about your Art of Happiness. Now, this is a book series and a short story. Tell us how all that came about.
Well, it could have been a full book with additional chapters, which will be forthcoming. But because so many of these stories that I tell are my stories, I found that I was constantly going back and retweaking them. And finally, my husband said, Maura, why don't you release them one at a time as e-books? And I'm so glad I did, Robert, because many people enjoy just a small dose. And what I have are a series of 6 books. They're The Art of Happiness, and it's the same idea, living happy inside out. And I have them on 6 topics that we all deal with. Now, an interesting thing is I was listening to the testimonial about your book. The kind woman that called in said that she read your book and recognized she is not alone. Just before the close, when we took the break, I mentioned that with all the issues every one of us in life could go through, you can break them down into 2 categories. We either feel like we're victims or we feel as if we're beneficiaries. And to feel like we're victims really translates into feeling like we're all alone. But to be a beneficiary means that we are connected to something far bigger and far more unified. And in that place, we're really connecting with common issues we've all dealt with. And getting back to my books, I've written 6 stories. One is on exiting comfort zones. The second is on influence, meaning how have you been influenced by people over the course of your life? And how can you influence others? You know, you don't need to be someone on TV in order to influence other people. You can be the person down the block at the grocery store. You can be just one person that sees someone else and has a kind word for them. That's being an influence. The other books I have are judgment, because we've all either judged or we have been judged. I wrote a book on competition, because so much of the world revolves around negative competition. And I was always of the persuasion that there was only one person I was competing with, and it was my lower self. How can I reach myself up to higher heights? So I talk about those stories. Values. Each one of us has values that are important to us and that are meaningful to us. And it's probably one of those questions I've asked in my podcast series. When we know what values are important to us, and for some it might be courage, for others it might be fidelity. Mine happened to be truth. These are the kinds of things that we can walk around in and occupy those values so that other people can recognize them as well. And my last book is nonsense, because we all deal with it. And several of my books are very funny. Each one, again, is an issue we've all had to deal with. So I open the books with a question. Then I will tell a story, usually with me being the guinea pig. And in some cases, people have read these stories and laughed. Like the one that I've got on comfort zones, I called it Exiting the Comfort Zone, Dance or Die. And maybe some of your listeners could relate to this. When I was a child, I really wanted to learn how to dance. And it was so important. For me, dancing meant fun. It meant joy, just joy, a freedom of movement. And as I did mention, I was really geared toward academics. I played piano, but I never danced. I did not start learning how to dance until I almost was 50 years old. I, by that point, had to face so many embedded mindsets, so many fears, so many beliefs about myself that I was uncoordinated, whatever. And yet I bring people through that story with me, and people get finished with it, and they'll think, oh my gosh, Maura, if you could exit your comfort zone and learn how to dance, I could conquer the world. It goes back to that feeling of you're not alone. And when people read stories, someone once said this, and I thought it was great. It brings them from one reality to another. Do you ever know when you go to class or school and you'll get five things you need to learn or five prescriptions, let's say, and you're told this is how you do it? Well, with stories, it's a little bit different. When people hear a story, they insert themselves into it. And they may be hearing one story, but they're going into their own past or present, mm-hmm. and they're playing your story against their own. And my stories will always come out with a brighter perspective, you know, a good resolution at the end. And it's one of the ways that I use to show people they are not alone. So it's a cute story, and they're all very brief. In fact, Robert, if your listeners tonight would like a copy of that, a free copy of Exiting the Comfort Zone, if they write to me at Maura, at MauraForYou.com, and request the Comfort Zone book, it would be my pleasure to send it out, and I think they'll enjoy it. I mean, you could read my books over a large cup of coffee, and it's just if you feel like you've had an experience. And anyway, that would be my pleasure.
Well, that's great.
And my other,
I'll be sure to post that. Now, I have to tell you, you just mentioned about, you know, readers inserting themselves into mm-hmm. your story. Well, I did that when I saw that your story about dancing the comfort zone and learning to dance at age 50. I went back to my experience.
Ah.
And I have a partner of like 25 years, and probably about year one or year two, I was asked to dance, and I have no rhythm, no rhythm whatsoever, you know. And you know, of course, at that time it was, you know, always it was self conscious and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So anyway, I made a deal. Okay, I will do it this time, as long as I'm never asked again. Well, that was the best deal I've ever made, you know. But after looking at your book, and the idea of, you know, you and attacking that at age 50, it's like, well, you know, I might just go ahead and just kick up my heels again, you know.
Oh, how funny. Well, you saw I didn't give up, but you know what's important to know is that this is kind of what I was referring to at the beginning of this program. What are the things that would make us smile when we were children? And dance, I used to watch Saturday morning American Bandstand. I have memories of that when I was 2 or 3 years old, and I thought, what is going on that show? All those teenagers dancing, they looked like they were having so much fun, but in a very free sense. And because I was very groomed, let's say, and because I never was even athletic, here I was, almost age 50, and I had a piece of me that I never allowed to come out. Now, Robert, what was really funny about it is that that book, or that story of learning how to dance, ended up launching my series and ended up, more than that, changing me. We have so much to ourselves, Robert, that goes untapped. And a lot of times our feelings of rejection or looking stupid, being mm-hmm. embarrassed, failure, even literally stepping out of the comfort zone. Some of us have friends that would maybe not appreciate something new we want to do. And yet if we do it, oftentimes there's such joy that comes from within and a sense of freedom because we are being ourselves. And I think it gave me a lot of confidence. I mean, I had to work through a lot of my fears, but mm-hmm. isn't that what all of us have to do?
I agree. And one of the things that I've noticed is that, you know, people who are living, who are being themselves, living their lives mm-hmm. according to their terms, those are the type of people that I'm attracted to, or that other people also are attracted to. That
same here.
Yeah, there's just one of the, it's like, you know, who wants to be around a person who's a downer?
Right. Well, you could feel it, can't you?
Yeah.
You could feel it when they walk into a room. But there's a certain level of freedom that comes, and that freedom, when each of us chooses to exercise ourselves from within and pursue those things we like, you can feel it's a tangible presence of freedom and acceptance. So what it does is it has this this effect of impacting or influencing others who then say, you know what, I feel quite empowered. I'm going to try something new too. And I really think that there is a superior existence we can all tap into. And so I always think with my writings, if I can encourage people to be more of who they are, they will do the same in their realm. And it will really lift up the world. It would be the opposite of being around the downers.
Exactly, exactly.
And no, sometimes we could be the downer, right?
Oh, yeah. I've been there. But and you don't want to be around yourself. You know,
right,
so.
Exactly.
It's like, oh, my gosh.
Exactly.
So now, you know, one of the things, I mean, this kind of really feeds into the idea of judgment, you know, which is another one of your books, you know, and it is, you know, like with me, you know, it was self-judgment on, you know, how it looked, you know, how my, you know, awkwardness looked, you know, and then there's also, I mean, so, and I truly believe that we are quite often our you know, we judge ourselves far more than other people judge us, you know, and, but it seems that, you know, overcoming that aspect of judgment is kind of a key to being able to be happy.
Yes, it is. And it gives us a sense of freedom. I don't know if you've ever heard this, but there have been several studies that demonstrated that little children, when they're very small, come out as really geniuses in their own right. But over the course of time, whether it's family influences, school that really teaches a lot of playing within the lines, what we find is that we end up getting positive reinforcement for doing certain things, and maybe things that we are interested in that maybe others are not, we end up hiding. But the more we exercise ourselves in those things we like, we really bring out our own brilliance. And so I think that's worth thinking about for anyone. You know, we spent maybe 12 years at the minimum if we went through high school. But imagine when you even go through university or you're working at corporations and only certain parts of you are welcome. Well, why not look for areas to extend yourself, even if it's outside of work, outside the home, where you can start tapping into what you like? Robert, you know, you mentioned the word judgment. Shall I talk about the judgment book? Because I think this is another one where people can listen to it, laugh about it, and get something out of it as well. It's another arena in which we definitely are not alone. We all have judged somebody at some point or another, and we've all been judged. And if you think about it, we don't like being judged, especially those of us who want to be liked. Well, my story, I wrote it maybe 30-something years after the fact, but when I wrote about it, it was hysterical to me. The subtitle of the book, it's called Judgment and the Polish Inquisition. Well, I don't know if I told you this, but my husband and I met when we were away at college. And for both of us, you know, we were not aware of ethnic differences. But he happened to come from a Polish background, and mine was not. Well, we knew very shortly thereafter. We were really a team. So I finally get an invitation to his family's house. And it was probably given under great duress. And I know about this before I go there. And when I arrive at his family's home, I've taken a train down, so it means I can't go home. I've never been there before. I end up sitting at a kitchen table with my future mother-in-law and four of her sisters, all of whom are Polish. And right behind me in the kitchen is a photograph of the Polish grandmother. Now, this could be translated into anybody's ethnic story. There's always something to relate to. I sat in the kitchen and I was grilled nicely, it wasn't me, but on everything I did. And Robert, I have to tell you, everything that these ladies were familiar with, I didn't know a thing about. Did I cook? No. Did I sew? No. I was pathetic as a seamstress. Did I know how to oh gosh, there were so many other things. I didn't know how to knit. I didn't know how to play tennis. Remember I told you I was always brought up to be uncoordinated. And my future husband was there. He said, well, she plays the piano. She's an artist. She sings. And it was as if we were talking two different languages. But the funny thing was this. The biggest issue about me is that my husband had chosen me rather than his mother. And for her, it was very important that her son marry a Polish girl. And I just didn't have any Polish in me. And the funny thing was, I take people through this scenario at the kitchen table, and I was, I think, 20 at the time. We didn't get married until a few years later, but I was just striking out on every question. And finally, somebody said to me, well, what is your last name? Are you Polish? And I wasn't. And there it was, the big question. And it was the eldest aunt who at the time, she was probably the most crusty. She said, well, you're not Polish, but you're okay with me. And I just thought it was so funny. And for many years thereafter, it wasn't like it got easier. I really was never quite accepted, even to the point where my mother-in-law passed away, I think, a year and a half ago. And my niece happened to say to my husband, you know, Grandma never really did like Aunt Maura. And it's funny thing that when I looked at it in retrospect, I thought, isn't this what we all do? We have certain thoughts in our mind that crystallize, and we believe something is right or something is wrong, and we are refusing to move off the mark. Well, the nice thing that happened with me is that even after having gone through many years of trying to get my mother-in-law to accept and like me, I learned to see her through a different set of eyes. And this is one of the big lessons in life where we're not alone. She knew what was familiar for her, and that was her comfort zone. And I was somehow outside of it. My life experience was different. But I could see that sense of vulnerability in her. And once I was able to see her through a different set of eyes, and it was never like the two of us, we never had words with one another, but it was just the chilliness that I wasn't Polish. Yeah. So when people read my stories, they will likely go in and they'll think, wow, have I judged? They may be reading where I was judged in that story, but it reads, it's so cute and funny. But it allows us to see we all do it. And when we could get to the point where we could look at others in similar ways as opposed to dissimilar ways, we so empower ourselves to love and accept others around us. And that contributes to our happiness, because when we resist others, what we're really doing is operating out of fear.
Yes.
So each one of my little stories helps along that line.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, gosh, we're down to getting down toward the end of the show here, Maura, and I had so much more to talk about. Well, one of the things, speaking of empowerment, you know, I was really impressed. I noticed on your website that your daughter Kaylee is a co-founder of a great program.
Yes,
Empowered Voices
in Uganda. Yes,
that's
and
wonderful.
And this is her doing what she likes.
she learned well, huh, from her mama.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, I don't know if that would have been my thing, but the interesting thing is that I homeschooled her, and I brought her up to follow what she liked. And I said, Kaylee, I'll bring you to different places. I want to expose you to different things. Sometimes she'd say, oh, I don't want to go there. But other times she would say, Mom, I feel so happy when I came out. There's a sense of uplift. And so that was just the way I brought her up. And she's happy, you know, and happy and safe, and so I'm glad.
That's great. That's great. Well, now we're getting down toward the end of the show. So, is there any area that you would like to share with the listeners that I haven't covered about living happy?
Oh, thank you. You know, yes, I would say this. When I grew up, and I felt very much living in a shell. I was very isolated. And yet, I would always look up in the sky and see airplanes and think, oh, I want to go visit those people. I wanted to go visit people in China, in Holland. To me, they were all my friends. And yet, as I got older, I realized many people like what's familiar because they're fearful of what's not. So as I write my stories, and I travel a lot, I don't know if I mentioned this, I've been to over 50 countries, and recently I've been even lecturing overseas. I try to introduce people through my work, whether it's a blog, a story, a video, whatever. I try to introduce them to their friends around the world or friends that they might otherwise never meet. And I find people calling me back or writing me and saying, Maura, thank you. I feel like I'm living vicariously through you. And I know in each case I'm bringing people closer together rather than distancing or dividing them. And I would say the best reason to go and visit my site and get a little bit more familiar with it or my podcast would be I really believe I came from what is whole and what is not divided. So as you're reading my things or as you're listening to my podcast, you're getting a sense of wholeness and unity, and there is great joy that comes from that. How's that for a final answer, Robert?
Boy, that was concise and accurate and uplifting, everything that I would hope for.
Good. Well, thank you. I so appreciate you having me on. I'm not looking at the clock, so I don't know how many more minutes we have, but you do.
Well, yeah, we still have a couple more minutes, but I do want to let everybody know again before it gets too late that you can go to Maura's website, maura4u.com, and that's M-A-U-R-A, the number 4, and the letter U.com. Again, there is a direct link to that in the show page description. But also, if you go to her website, you'll be able to see that she is like on every social media platform that you can name. So, and I've already sent my connection request for quite a few of those. So, everyone, do go ahead and join Maura on there because, you know, those reflective types of questions that you ask and calls to actions, those are things that, you know, I think people, if they spend just a little bit of time, even if it's 5 or 10 minutes a day, you know, working toward a better them, a better their higher self, you know, then
right. It's
a step in the right direction.
Exactly. And I look at my life, I didn't get there overnight. But imagine if you could just have a 10% increase in your level of personal happiness. That's a joy. Right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I really want to thank you for your time today. It's really been a joy. I knew it would be, and I'm very delighted that we've connected and look forward to following you on social media as well.
Robert, same with me. Thank you. It was a pleasure for me. You're a very kind man. And, oh, just remind your listeners that if they would like the book Exiting the Comfort Zone, just write to me, Maura, at maura4u.com, and it would be my pleasure to send a free copy out to them.
Absolutely. And I'll do a little social media blast on that, too, either later tonight or probably in the morning when everybody is more awake. But, yeah, we'll definitely spread the word on that. So, again, thank you for your time. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Maura Sweeney, and we have been talking about the art of happiness. Again, you can find out more about her by visiting her website, which is maura4u.com. There is a direct link to that in the show page description. And on her website, you can find out about her books, her Huffington Post blogs, media pictures, podcasts, and also information about having her as a speaker. Again, she is also on a lot of social media platforms, so if you use any of that, definitely go there and join her. So, everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show, and until we meet again.
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's biteradio.me. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Bite Radio Me. And our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.